Chapter 2. Friday, 7:30 p.m. The summer crowds in the old port had thinned now that Labor Day had come and gone, but the air was warm and Exchange Street bustled with energy. Shops and restaurants were open late and busy. Packs of teenagers in varying states of grunge, some with piercings and tattoos and some without, spread themselves across the sidewalks, forcing middle-aged tourists out onto the narrow streets. Detective Sergeant Michael McCabe and Kira Erickson walked in step side by side holding hands. Seeing them absorbed in each other's company, chatting happily, it would have been easy for a passerby to conclude correctly that they were lovers. Tonight, they were heading for Arno, the city's latest northern Italian hotspot. As usual, it was Kira's choice. McCabe's restaurant habits were as predictable as they were unadventurous. He pretty much always ordered the same thing. A rare New York strip steak, preceded by a single malt scotch, no ice, and accompanied by a couple of bottles of cold shipyard ale. Kira, on the other hand, was a real foodie. She was looking forward to one of Arno's specialties, duck meat ravioli served, she recited, practically drooling, in a light brown sauce with thin slices of rare grilled duck. McCabe considered their differing approaches to dining a minor incompatibility. He had no problem indulging her passion for haute cuisine. After dinner, they planned to go back to his apartment and watch a movie. John Schlesinger's Billy Liar, with Tom Courtney and a young, very sexy Julie Christie. An old favorite from McCabe's former life in film school at NYU. He'd never told Kira she reminded him of Christie in this role. She had the same curly blonde hair, the same liquid eyes, the same full, almost pouty lips, except, thank God, Kira almost never pouted. The resemblance was one of the things that first attracted him to her. He wondered if she'd appreciate the comparison. They paused by a young street musician seated on the pavement, his back against the brick wall of a small jewelry shop. He was playing a beautifully polished violin. A hand-lettered cardboard sign propped against the wall identified him as a Juilliard dropout. They listened for 20 or 30 seconds.